Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Last night when Jill left you guys in, you said you would have been okay if he had pulled you, but in hindsight, with the way you guys were able to come back tonight, do you feel like that was beneficial?
Absolutely. You know, Joe came in, before the game and set the tone for us, told us that we needed to get our shit together. And we started out the game great. I think we got up to a great start. Was moving the ball. We had a little stagnant in the third quarter, you know, that led to the Lakers getting out in transition. They got some superb athletes still. Which is crazy, but, you know, we was able to, you know, manage it, you know, make some big plays down the stretch of the fourth where it looked like we was out. I think we were down 8 points or 10 points in the fourth quarter. We're still able to come back and win, so that, you know, that's a tough and a perfect way to close out the road trip.
All right, back in the Causeway Street studio. Another episode of the Causeway Street podcast. I am Josue Pavone. Joel Pavone's here. Sean Dutra.
Yo.
The Celtics are back in town, back from their six-game road trip. And it wasn't as it was something, right? There was quite the ups and downs and, you know, games that could have gone a different way, let's say. But the Celtics, at the end of the day, survived giving up a 20-point lead. And a masterpiece performance from Jason Tatum and pretty much a classic matchup. I mean, look, Celtics fans can say what they want about how this thing turned out between them and the Lakers in the sense of how it could have gone the other way. But what a showdown. I mean, for Tatum, that shot over LeBron James, 44 points, another masterpiece, another stellar performance. And yeah, look, the Celtics win, 4-2 in the West Coast road trip. The Golden State Warriors game obviously is the one that sticks out the most. The loss against the Clippers, you know, we'll get into that as well. But let's start off on a good note. Let's deliver the good news, which is Jason Tatum going back to his MVP self right after a couple of underwhelming performances.
Yeah, man, I thought the West Coast trip. So let's be realistic. Like, you go on a West Coast trip, and we were all talking sort of happy-go-lucky last time we were on the podcast.
Yeah, a little too much.
Which is fine. But, I mean, to be honest with you, it wasn't like – I think we weren't alone. And the fact that they lost the two games
– Well, you're never alone, though, because you're always doing the whole 4-0.
Right. Well, that's me.
But these three particular teams
– I let that shit rub off on me, and I should have known better.
But these three particular teams were, like, either – 500 or below 500. Yeah, so it wasn't like out of the realm.
So for me, I think like the way I look at it, the Lakers game, great bounce back win. Like, even though it was up and down, it was a little roller coaster ride, like that still is a big win on the road to close out a road trip where your team didn't really have a full 48 in them, but you still found a way to win, which is huge. And then I think, you know, looking back on the Warriors game and the Clippers game, I am not in the camp that the Celtics can't beat the Warriors and that the Warriors sort of own them or anything like that. But I just think, like, for the Warriors, they were at home. They have a great home record, like we just talked about off air. Best home record in the league, right? And they got up for the game that they wanted to prove a point. And, you know, maybe the Celtics weren't really ready for that. Like, that's but and at the same time, then, like, you look at the Clippers game, that loss, to me, I don't care about that loss. Like, it is what it is. You were sandwiched between the Warriors and the Lakers. You came out, you have a bad game. So, you look at the whole macro picture of this road trip, 4-2, you're never going to be mad about a West Coast swing in a six-game road trip where you go 4-2. You shouldn't be, at least. So, to everybody that's overreacting about one game, to everybody that's freaking out about, you know, the fact that we can't beat the Warriors or they have our number. It's like, yo, it's one game.
Yeah, I don't think it's the that the Warriors have the Celtics number. It's the Tatum factor.
Sure.
Right? It's like, you know, he reverted to some of his like habits from the finals.
Yeah, well, Wiggins not playing is more of a reason why he should have played better.
Yeah, yeah. No,
if Wiggins locked them down again, then we'd be like, okay, well, that's a matchup that's not Tatum is having trouble winning.
No. I think
like, this is even worse.
Just because he goes to Golden State, he can't play basketball? Like, what?
No, it's not that. I'm saying because of the MVP conversation and the way that they've started, it's like kind of what Brown said. Like, we played like we had this circled on our calendar instead of just playing our game. And it wasn't like Tatum was the only one that had a bad game. Like, the team overall reverted back to some bad habits that we saw, especially in the first half of last season.
I look at it like this.
A lot of ISO ball.
It sucks that it was against the Warriors.
Yeah.
But this team has given themselves leeway for a two-game losing streak on the road against two legitimate teams. They've given themselves the leeway for you then not to look at this like a lot of people have been and saying like, oh, is this a fraud team? And the Celtics are frauds now because they lost against the Warriors. They couldn't keep up against them. And they had a bad loss against the Clippers.
Plus,
they lost a 20-point lead against the Lakers. People are looking at this right now like Rome is burning, where I think, like, you've given yourself leeway. You've dominated the teams you're supposed to dominate. You're 22-6 now. Like, we're going to be okay.
Yeah,
like,
but
you can't – just like last year – and hold on. Just like last year where you – couldn't take these like good wins or bad losses at the beginning of the year serious because it's a long rest of the season. Same thing now. Like, no one got up in arms when they demolished the all those teams that we talked about last time, right? Where they demolished all the West Coast teams that we demolished
before the road.
And then you have two bad games in a row. They happen in a row. I get why people are a little bit nervous, but it's the overreaction is just out of control, man.
No, I mean, and I also want to piggyback on the fact that, and we talked about it last episode and probably the last few episodes, everyone is going to play their best ball against the Celtics. Like, teams, even though the Celtics didn't win it last year, teams are playing the Celtics as if, like, they were the champions last year. And because the Warriors have been playing, you know, 500 basketball all season, even, you know, despite them having the great home record, they're like, oh no, we got to make a statement against these dudes because everyone's talking about the Celtics. Everyone has the Celtics coming out of not only the East, but to win it all. We're still the reigning champions. So, of course, the Warriors are going to come out the way that they did. And that's okay. It's not like the end of the world. I mean, there was a lot of this team isn't as good as we thought they were, but no Al Horford, yeah. No Robert Williams.
I mean, forget about that. They didn't have Andrew Wiggins, but I almost. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but
that's more of a reason why they should win the game,
right?
I'm not saying they shouldn't have won the game. Yeah, the
Wiggins thing. Like, yeah, yeah. I don't understand that.
Oh no, I'm just saying the Wiggins thing.
Got the Wiggles in the jiggles on. Yeah.
No, Wiggins.
The Wiggles.
The Wiggins thing with Tatum would have been worse if Wiggins came in the game and played and locked Tatum down like he did in the finals. And then you're like, oh shit, if we see them so in the
either,
finals.
Either way though, you're trying to say like the Warriors aren't like Tatum's kryptonite like right now?
I think
he's more in his own head, to be honest. That's just me though. I don't know.
And you know what? If I'm Joe Mazzulla, I think that Warriors loss is the best thing that could have happened to my team. Because now I'm looking at it like you guys have been world beaters for the year.
Well, he was just like, it's not the end of the fucking world every time we lose a game.
Right. But
no, he said that?
He said that.
But I the Sandcastles thing, right? We talked about Jimi Hendrix earlier.
Yes. Yes. How can I forget?
But what I'm trying to say is it's a good thing to bring them back down to earth to be like, yes, you guys are playing at a level that we haven't seen in a while, but you still have work to do. Like there are still teams out there that when they bring their A game, they can beat you. So you need to bring your A game every single night. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a growing pain that is fine. I would much rather have it this way.
Well, I mean, I don't think they would have won had they beat the Warriors and the Clippers, or lose one and win the other. Maybe they don't win against the Lakers, because Joe at the end of the game was like, I spoke to not only Tatum, but Brown and Smart. I was like, it's you three. You three are the way you guys go is the way this team is going to go. And guess what? Those are the three that pulled off that comeback against the Lakers.
Yeah,
and that's what Tatum actually talked about after the game as well. He was like, man, he pretty much just held us accountable and said, look, you guys, the team will follow your lead.
Yeah,
it'll follow suit. It's not just Tatum. It's not just Brown, you know. It's Marcus too. It's all three of those guys. And I love to hear stuff like that, because we've all been sort of waiting for that moment, right? Like when is Joey gonna have to crack the whip on these guys, right? Like when is he cross over from being the new guy in charge, the one that everyone likes and is happy that he's in this position, to becoming that guy who's, okay, look, you guys have to listen to me now, or hey, this is me being serious right now, because we're at that point of the season where we have to take things up another notch, and I got to sort of crack the whip here, you know?
I think I think it's great. And I think it's going to show like how good of a coach Joe Mazzulla actually is, because I do feel like things were going very well for him to start the season.
Oh man.
He just didn't have to fuck up. Right.
Damn right. Damn near perfect.
Like, yeah.
You couldn't ask for a better start.
Yeah. So then this was just a hurdle that, how is he going to handle it?
And the Lakers,
how the team going to respond?
The Lakers were playing good basketball
going into
this game.
So you said
that's true. That's true. You like, you were weary of this. You were you were as close as predicting an L as you get during the look ahead
segment. Like, more so than any of the other teams.
The Clippers game was a downright awful loss, but the Lakers have been playing good basketball.
Probably the worst loss.
Yeah, of the season. Yeah. Hands out. I mean, the Bulls, whatever.
The first Bulls. Yeah. Okay.
The worst loss, but the Lakers are playing really good basketball. They're healthy. You had LeBron James absolutely taking advantage of Grant Williams.
Yo, why the fuck was Grant Williams guarding LeBron James
all night?
And not only that, he was guarding LeBron James. He was guarding Anthony Davis. It's like
that—that's a non.
That's like, to the point where he brought in Cornette to be like, all right, give me something, dude.
Something.
But on the defensive.
Grant Williams got abused. I mean, yeah, that was.
But I mean, if it wasn't for the tired legs of AD and LeBron, that might have been a different outcome there.
I think that's three straight nights of not having Al Horford out there. I mean, obviously, there's no Rob. That's been the case all year long. But
Al Horford would have played one of them games.
Yeah.
At least, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Especially the Clippers and Warriors games.
Yeah. And I think
it's hard to believe that he missed five out of these six games.
Yeah. And LeBron against the Celtics is a different LeBron. We all know that. Like, you're able to hold him off. You're able to.
Fucker still gets up at these games.
Yeah, he does, seriously.
Yeah, but he's like downhill LeBron.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's not the same. Like,
but he's legit downhill. Like, he loves going downhill.
No,
like,
that's what I mean. No, I don't mean downhill. Yeah, I should.
That was still his best game of the season. That was probably his best game of the season.
Oh, I thought you were saying like he was on the down.
Like, no, right. No, I mean like literally like he's if it's a fast break and he's going downhill, like look out. There's no way to stop him. He's either getting to the free throw line. He's either getting that layup.
I still think that
defensively he's doing that from behind block, you know, that steal that leads to a fast break, but he's not the same kind of guy in a half court set he can just hit his shots over two people, taking guys one-on-one off the dribble, you know, the fadeaway three-pointer.
He sort of looked like that in the game a little bit, like he was
he had his moments, but
that's what I mean, the momentum though. he got up for that game when he's
going downhill, that's what it is.
Yeah,
and you're letting the Lakers capitalize on turnovers or missed shots, and that's what they did in that second half.
Yep, I agree. And then I think like the whole thing about us being able to hold off and recover in a game that you're coming off two straight losses, you're coming off a team that is hungry. The former best player in the world has your number, wants to beat the Celtics every single year, especially on the Lakers now. You're able to hold him off. There's, if you're going to get on this team about losing to the Warriors, you have to give props to them for holding off the Lakers. That's what I'll just say. Like, you can't have it both ways where you're just focused on, hey, the Warriors have your number, then LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers come in and they're playing the best basketball of the year, and you hold their runoff. Like, that's something to be said about that.
Yeah, and they got their first win in OT.
Hey!
Took care of business.
What was it, 1-3?
1-3.
Jeez. And the Lakers were 1-1, I believe.
Yeah, 1-1. Yeah, yeah.
Heading into that overtime. Now they're 1-2. So.
Yeah.
And
records don't mean anything in the Western Conference, though.
No.
And Tatum becomes the highest scorer in franchise history against the Lakers.
Per game?
No. Well, this one performance, say, so he scored 44.
Oh.
He passed Paul Pierce for the top scorer in LA in the Celtics jersey.
Very cool.
Yeah, Paul.
That's hard to believe.
Well, that was that record was standing since 2001.
Yeah, yeah, when Paul got the name The Truth.
But I'm just saying, like, all those Lakers series in the finals, really? Bird never did anything? Or
I want to say, Tatum. I want to say Ray had like 39 or 40, something like, no.
So here's
I don't think he hit.
So after Tatum with 44 was Pierce with 42 back in 2001.
That dude's the motherfucking truth.
Yeah, 2001.
And then Tatum again, 41, 2 years ago.
Oh, that's when they lost, and he was like the happiest guy. Yeah. After
double OT or whatever?
No. This was after Kobe passed.
Yeah.
I thought that was a double OT game when we lost it, no?
Did they go to overtime?
And they, it might have. I think it was overtime. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was like a matinee.
Yeah.
First time in the what was the Staples Center back then?
Havlicek, a.k.a. Hondo, 41 points in 1965.
Oh, great game.
And then Jaylen Brown was in 2021. He had 40 points.
Cool, Jaylen.
So those are the top five top scorers on the Celtics against the Lakers in LA.
Well, the good news for the Celtics team is they're going into the greatest homestand in franchise history, it seems like, or at least since we've all been alive.
I can't believe it. I thought the six was the most. That's crazy.
Seven game homestand.
Seven.
So they have some chance to establish themselves, create some separation before that big matchup, Christmas Day matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks, because the Milwaukee Bucks right now, I mean,
they don't
look now, but they've matched the Celtics in the loss column, but the Celtics still have two wins over the Bucks. But
suck it.
But leading into that matchup, though,
no, they lost against the Rockets and the fucking and the Lakers.
Leading into that matchup, though, you know that everyone's going to be seeing how these two teams are, you know, progressing heading into it. So, yeah, this is it. I mean, Sean. Yeah, that's your cue. You better start Googling now because we're about to.
I got it Googled.
We're about to go into your segment and see who's on the schedule. Who's on tap?
Who's on the docket?
Which teams will the Celtics be facing before this Christmas showdown?
Yeah.
Between these two teams that haven't seen each other since last year's Eastern Conference playoffs.
All right. So, time to look ahead. We're looking ahead.
So 22-7, and the Bucks are 20-7.
20-7. All right. Yep. All right. So we just talked about the Warriors really getting up for the Celtics. You know, obviously LeBron got up for the Celtics. Personal reasons. The Celtics now have to face the wrath of Bol Bol.
I knew you were fucking bring him up.
And
somehow.
The Orlando Magic. The discarded Bol Bol.
Oh, he's the headline now.
The Celtics had this gem on their roster.
The 9-20 Orlando Magic, yes.
Bol Bol is a treat for everybody.
A treat.
And he comes back to Boston not once, but twice. It's Bol Bol weekend this weekend. All right? Friday,
Bol Bol weekend at the Garden.
Bol Bol weekend.
It's Bol Bol weekend at the Garden. I wouldn't be surprised.
Sounds like the Mega Bowl to me.
You know, they really missed an opportunity in, you know, that campaign right there, the marketing campaign.
Bol Bol weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a trust me, I am not alone with the Bol Bol love. Okay.
I think you are, but
all right. Anyways, Magic and Magic. Magic and Magic. So it's not a home in home. What do they call a home? A back to back home?
Back to back at home. Yeah. Well, people do say home and home.
Home and home is when you're home and then you go to the other home.
Yeah. How is that though?
It should be home away. I thought, anyways. Okay.
People are weird.
Friday.
Or just say a 2-game set with fucking Magic at home.
We're going to call it the Bowl Bowl weekend, and that's what I'm sticking to. Yeah. So, Bowl Bowl weekend, Magic, Celtics play on Friday, and then again in a matinee on Sunday. And then the Indianapolis Pacers.
That's a good one.
Pacers have been a god-awful team this year. And will Aaron Nesmith get a tribute video? That is the question. That is the big question coming into this game.
I think Bobo gets one before fucking...
Hell yeah. Bobo will not get a tribute video on Friday night, score 50, and then get a tribute video on Sunday, about as 50 put up. But Nesmith is finding a little bit of the same exact role he had on the Celtics for a god-awful Pacers team.
Daniel Tice does come back
into the building on the Pacers. He's injured, but it is what it is.
He may get a little tribute. His role's increased, generally speaking.
If you compare
who he was for the Celtics team, you know, in contrast to what he's been doing for the Pacers, I don't know, man. He's one of those rotational guys. I don't think he was ever that. That was ever the case here.
Well, they tried to force him into a rotational guy in like the playoffs. Remember?
That was more of the
not last year, the year before that.
Break the glass, you know.
Yeah, they were like, "Oh, emergency." That was that hustle Nesmith phase of everyone's
crash Nesmith. Yes.
Awful. He was never a good player. Hated when people try to sell me on Nesmith. And then we got the.
I think we should stay right there.
Yeah, stay right there.
Yeah, I think we should stay right there.
All
right.
So you got Bowl Bowl weekend, and then you got Nesmith and Tice returning.
Homecoming. Maybe Tice is injured, but maybe he'll
Tice is on the bench, though. He's active on the bench.
You know, Tice might get a tribute video.
Tice should get a tribute video.
But I thought he got one when he got traded the last time.
And you bring him back again, and you give him another one.
All right, okay.
Anytime you can give Tice a little shout out, you give Tice a little shout out. He deserves it.
Let me send some details.
That dude can mop the floor.
Or sand it.
He's got Wax it. His numbers are getting up there, man. He's got what, 9?
How many minutes is he averaging? 17 minutes a game?
So for December, which is I'm obviously highlighting this for a reason, is his best month of the season. He's averaging 21 minutes. He's scoring 9 points, shooting 42% from behind the arc, 46.9% from the floor, and he also averages 4 fouls a game. But he's improving.
I was about to be shocked. When you said 21, I thought you were going to say points. For a split second,
I thought that was steals. No, 3.9 fouls.
That is Nesmith's absolute ceiling. That is the most, like,
there's no way he's averaging 3.9.
So, the Pacers are so bad. They are the best
shooter in this draft, bro.
Halliburton?
No, fucking Sadiq Bey.
Yes.
Yeah, I still think about
him. Hey, don't get me started with my Pistons, baby. Don't get me started with the Pistons. I won't.
Please stop it. All right, his best game of the season, though, was against your Orlando Magic. Bowl Bowl and the Orlando Magic. He dropped 19.
Former teammates.
He dropped 19 points, went 5 of 8 from behind the arc, and that was back on November 19th.
Yeah, the chances that the Celtics had.
Oh, I think that's when he got showered with the thing, with the celebration.
Oh, yeah, he almost tore his ACL. Yeah,
just think that the Celtics could have built around Aaron Nesmith and Bol Bol. Think about the lineup we could have had on the floor right now with those two players.
So he said he almost died.
He really almost did. I've never seen that in my life.
You could feel the
panic.
You know, you ever tip back in a chair and then you're like, oh, like that was his face when he went down.
His life flashed before his
eyes.
I know the look.
Just concussed, dude. Brutal. Anyway,
he's got to hang in there.
Don't play with water, guys. All right.
We'll see.
What do you guys think? I think there's two questions. First off,
we already talked about the tribute videos. What's the next question?
What's the Celtics record? And does Bol Bol go for a total of 100 points against the Celtics?
Let me say this. Because after this six-game road trip, right, where you beat teams like the Nets, you shat on the Nets, you were shitting on the Lakers, then you let them come back, and then you pulled off the win at the end. You shot on Phoenix. That was great. So now you're going up against Orlando.
Yeah.
And the Pacers at home right before Christmas.
He said, yeah. What was it?
I don't know. Those are trap games to me.
Trap game vibes.
Hey.
Yeah, drop the beat. Drop the
trap
cheesy.
Trap game. Trap. Skirt, skirt.
Those got trap games ran all over it.
All over it.
Just put some Jeezy up.
Right.
Trapping ain't dead.
I don't know.
No, you're trying to do the Migos thing. Like when you go trap kill all over it, I should have been like all over it. trap.
Yeah. I say, as much as it pains me, 2-1. And one of those losses are against Orlando.
Bobo. The Bobo game?
They get bobo'd, huh?
Oh, you get bobo'd over?
He said the Bobo game.
The Bobo game. You know it's going to happen. You know he's bound to...
I'm curious. Let me see how much Bobo is averaging right now.
We don't know that.
Hold on. Bobo is averaging all but 12.4 points a game.
And he's balling.
Neesmith would kill for those numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
7.4 rebounds.
Dude, 12-7, dog. You don't think the Celtics could use a 12-7 freak right now?
Well, it's supposed to be Grant Williams.
What's his 3-point shooting percentage?
40%. which is what Grant shoots.
Dude, 7'78", dude. You know what I mean? Come on.
Grant's doing that for you. Come on.
I'd rather have Bobo.
He's just instead of what was it, 12-7? He's 9-4.
So he thinks it's all good. It's all good until you punch the ball into the crowd and you get fined 20K.
Oh, stay tuned for in case you missed
it. I'm just going to float this out there. Bobo or Grant Williams?
Somewhere Brad Stevens is like, and that's why we didn't extend. There you go, Sean. Smart kid.
Okay, I got 3-0. Brad,
I like this podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? This is apparently Stevens. This is our podcast.
No, because if you listen to the podcast, we would have never let Bobo go.
This is years ago, but
we would have a front court back.
Bobo,
we would have a bench of a front court.
Bobo has foot surgery, my dude. What were you going to do with him?
Let him heal. That's what I was going to do with him. You know, you get a gift like Bobo and you let him go, it's bound to come back to haunt you at some point.
All right, Bobo weekend coming up.
Yeah,
I'm going to go 3-0. I know I said that last week, but I think it's going to happen this time.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing trash teams, so it's not like a crazy.
He's like, yeah, I mean, they're playing Bobo.
So yeah, man. Bobo sucks, dude. Can't be Bobo.
You said Bobo.
You know I can't be Bobo, right?
That can't lose a Bobo. You know why I can't be Bobo. I don't know.
No,
we'll see. No, but the, no.
So you're saying 2-1?
3-0.
Oh, come on.
But you're gonna have to overcome.
Why did you say all that?
You're gonna have to overcome Bobo.
Oh jeez.
But the thing with the Magic in general is that they always play the Celtics tough. It's never just blow them out that easy.
But it's at home, and I think if the Celtics can win the Friday night game, then the Sunday one's a wrap.
Oh, so it's all predicated on that Friday.
Well, I just think the Friday night game, they're coming back off the road trip.
Friday night.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, don't get me started.
I don't want to, don't get me, all right. Don't get me rolling here.
We got two 3-0s and 1-2-1s. All right.
So now we're going to go.
Someone's going to lose. We'll see.
Also, Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, he's balling. I don't know. I don't know what to say. He's no Chet Holmgren, but, you know.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait it out.
He's definitely no Jaden Ivey, but.
22 points a game. 7 rebounds.
He's pretty solid.
Solid.
I think he's got a Rookie of the Year in the bag, if you ask me.
No.
Why'd you do that, sorry?
Ivy, baby.
No, you're out of your mind.
Cade Cunningham out for the rest of the season. Ivy's going to get that run. He's got that starting point guard.
Yeah, that sounds like get quick. Those numbers up. Get those numbers
up. They shut him down real quick, huh?
Well, they shut him real quick because there's a guy called Wayamba.
Yeah.
I've been saying, they're like,
he's injured? Great. Shut him down.
Increase
our chances.
I will say this now. If the Pistons get the number one pick next year, watch the fuck out.
Finals contenders?
Instant contender. Yep.
Watch Sean place that bet immediately.
Instant contender. I may pace play. I'm going to Vegas. I may place a futures bet.
I may pace place
of the Pistons making it to the Eastern Conference Finals next year. You know what the odds on that are? Probably great.
Let's talk after the show. I gotta throw in a couple of bets myself.
Hey. Oh man, I thought I would stay tuned.
We game
Dutra going to Vegas.
Dutra Vegas. Let's go. I'm gonna put 2027 Bowl Bowl MVP odds and see what the fuck I get.
Dude. Jesus. Yeah, so you're giving him 5 more years, huh?
What is he gonna die?
No, I'm just saying.
He's been cheering.
Like if you say he's been balling, then I would expect you to say that he'll be MVP within the next
couple years. He's balling on the pace that Giannis grew up. Mm. Giannis took a couple years to grow up. Right. You have to figure out how to use those superhuman talents.
Mm. And also then break his foot in his third or fourth year.
The Bulls have a foot problem that runs in their family. Okay, they got bad feet.
The Bulls.
This is actually true.
Yes. Yeah. So let's just be optimistic here.
He's like, hopefully in the next 5 years, nothing serious happens. But all right. All right, that's enough Bulbul talk.
Okay, yeah, that was a lot of Bulbul talk. Who let me off the leash with the Bulbul stuff, man? That's on you guys.
That all started when you said Bulbul weekend. That's what happened.
No, that was you were egging him on like half of that. Get out of here. My brother did that. That's what it was.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. let's go to the way we wrap up this show.
Funny thing is, no one cares about this dude other than me.
well, you might be wrong because there might be
80% of our listeners said yes, thank you.
I guarantee you. There's at least a small number of diehard Causeway Street fans that are like, oh, yeah, Dutra did lose his shit the night that Bulbul was drafted. And it wasn't, of course, by the Boston Celtics.
And lost his shit again when the Celtics acquired him for a few days.
Yeah.
For nothing. So,
yeah.
The real ones know the history between you and Bulbul. So.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's worth mentioning. All right, let's take our trip around the NBA. Let's wrap up this episode of Causeway Street the way we wrap up every single episode. With Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what we missed?
The NBA and its players' union have agreed to extend the deadline to give a notice of plans to opt out of the collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, the old CBA, huh?
To February 8th, decides announced in the joint statement this week. So,
Hold your questions after.
Sorry.
Put your hand down.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. So prior to the agreement, the opt-out deadline was for Thursday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now it's going to fall one day before the NBA trade deadline, which, by the way, it's very early this year. Fucking February 8th. Well, February 9th for the trade deadline. Essentially, the seven-year CBA is going to expire after the 2023-24 season. So if either sides don't, you know, come to some sort of agreement before this or at this deadline, this new deadline, which is February 8th, this current agreement is going to end on June 30th. So by the offseason, if they don't come to an agreement, there'll be a lockout.
So the season is fine.
This season is fine.
Woo.
This season is fine, but
could
if they
you
don't come to
that, so this going with the best record, and then they get locked the fuck out, dude.
Stop!
I couldn't hold back my question.
Sean will be podcasting every 2 days, being like, "This is bullshit."
Free Jason Tatum.
This is a fucking conspiracy. Is what this is.
This is bullshit. Is what this is. This is rigged. The NBA is rigged.
NBA fucking trying to even out the playing field.
They couldn't stop the Celtics, so they just like let's just put a pause in the season.
Think about it. There was the Celtics, there was the Bucks, and there was no one fucking else, and the NBA hated that shit.
And guess what? You can't have the finals in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Yeah,
bullshit.
All right, to sum up here,
so we're good this
with
season.
with our craziness, right? The deadline, which would have been today, got pushed to February 8th, the same week. One day before the NBA trade deadline. So if they don't come up with an agreement on February 8th, then the current agreement that's supposed to expire after the 2023-24 season, there's going to be a stoppage most likely starting June 30th.
So we're saying then the CBA lasts until the end of next season.
Correct.
But they have the opportunity to opt out early in February.
Well, they don't come to some sort of agreement.
Yeah, yeah, but that wouldn't force a season to end.
It would force something after the season to stop.
For them they would have to start renegotiating right after that
season. Yeah, that's just going to they're not coming to an agreement mid-season.
It's like if a player has a player option and they don't come up with some sort of, you know, extension,
I think
then it's just like, all right, so I'm opting out on, you know, in this case it's June 30th and I'm opting out and it's whatever.
Let me ask you guys this. They did, and I don't know if this is going to come up, but the whole thing about the last CBA where there was like the sort of lockout and then it came out of it was the max contracts. And the whole thing was like they wanted the team that had them to be able to give more money.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up because...
Is that working? I'm going to answer my question, but go ahead.
According to Woj, okay, now... The NBA is pursuing the implementation of an upper spending limit that will replace the luxury tax with a hard limit that teams could not exceed to pay salaries, if that's where you were going.
Okay. So, because if you can give the supermax to your own player if he's on your team and you can go above the luxury tax.
So this goes to teams like the Warriors, Celtics, the Nets. The Clippers, no, not the Celtics in this particular.
Yeah, because we've been jerking off around the salary cap.
They're running up massive payrolls and luxury tax penalties, but they don't care. They're paying it. So that affects other teams that can't.
Yeah.
So they don't go after certain players.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. But then I think what's going to.
This is essentially the first season where the Celtics are, you know, Wicker's like, fucking spend. Yeah, fuck it.
First go ahead, go season, nuts. Yes.
First season since like the KG era, because when KG was here, they were always over the luxury tax, but they didn't care because they were always a contender.
Yeah, I don't. I think they're still in the growing phase of this whole like too much money to be figure out how to spend it, because they did this whole thing where they made it so that there's the floor, and then there's the tax, but the tax was just tax, so you can go over it. For a reason, because they wanted people to spend and they wanted people to spend money. If the owners come back with a hard cap, the players aren't going to agree to that shit.
Well, that's the whole point of the pushing the.
There's no way.
Deadline. They're pushing the deadline because it's like, yo, we gotta work this out.
That hard cap, that means owners are going to make more money when the TV money comes in and goes up. Owners make more money, but that hard cap stays at a hard cap.
Pretty much what. This next CBA is it can't just be the same two, three to four teams that they don't give a fuck in terms of spending while other teams are not able to spend.
See, I think that the two to three, four teams that don't give a fuck about spending and makes the rest of the league spend.
No, but I'm not talking about salary. I'm talking about luxury tags.
I know.
Okay.
But right. I'm saying so you're the Golden State Warriors, right? Since you won your first title and you had your dynasty, you've been making money hand over fist, easily the most profitable NBA franchise. If you don't reinvest that into your team and go above the luxury tax, you're stealing money. So, because you're not putting it back in the product on the court. So, like, I look at it like success can breed overspending and being able to spend the luxury tax because you don't give a fuck because your profits are so great, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then you look at, like, Minnesota, you look at Detroit, Orlando, OKC. I think they just got to think of something creatively to make those teams spend more money.
Yeah, we shall see between now and February if that, you know, happens. All right. In case you missed
capping, it's not going to work. Hard cap. No. We get it.
In case you missed it, the NBA, they unveiled six new trophies for award winners. Okay. So, essentially, they renamed their trophies introduced one new trophy. It's the NBA Clutch Player of the Year Award. So
it's a weird one.
A weird one. But let me
Clutch Player Award, like the people who are part of the agency, the Clutch Agency, Clutch Sports.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's just gonna be renamed the Luka Doncic Award in about 15 years.
Nah. He ain't that clutch yet.
All right, so then the new awards, or wait, new award guess. Trophies.
Clutch award.
Well, we'll get to that one in a second. Okay. That's the new award, right?
So why are trophies so small?
So the most valuable player award, right? The MVP, it's why now the Michael so Jordan trophy.
That's good. The MVP.
So no.
That's your guy, Dudu.
All right.
Yeah. So the finals MVP is Bill Russell.
Yeah. That's
the MVP is now Michael Jordan. Yeah. And it also makes me feel very old.
Okay.
The players that we grew up watching now have trophies named after them. That makes me feel old.
That aside.
Anybody else?
I didn't watch Bill Russell when he was playing.
Not Bill Russell. I'm talking about Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Like when Bill Russell happened, I was like.
Like you brought up Bill Russell as if like, you know, like him and Jordan played in the same era. I was
like, yo, that's like 40 years apart.
Oh, I was asking a clarifying question of what MVP.
Oh, no, the league MVP. League MVP. Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Because the Bill Russell award, you know, the Bill Russell.
Just was named.
No, it wasn't just named. That was 2010, bro.
Okay.
Because Kobe was the first one to win that.
All right. But still didn't feel old.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So they weren't going to change it. Like, especially right after he passed. What's wrong with you? All right. The Defensive Player of the Year Award is now named the Hakeem Olajuwon Trophy.
That's bullshit.
You don't like that.
Also, makes me feel old.
Yeah, if it was the Dennis Rodman Trophy, you'd be pissed too.
I'd be pissed. Why couldn't it be the, I don't know.
Adrian Griffin Award?
Yeah. No, why couldn't you pick a player from the fucking 80s, dude? Why are we doing 90s players now?
All right, so maybe you'll feel better about this one.
Okay, maybe.
Okay, NBA Rookie of the Year Award.
Yeah.
Now it's the Wilt Chamberlain Trophy.
Didn't see that guy play, huh?
Okay, fine. from an earlier generation, doesn't make me feel old. But at the same time, like, how do you name a Rookie of the Year trophy? Right. Everyone's got one rookie year. You're really going to say, like, Wilt Chamberlain had the best rookie year?
Well.
Okay. Even if he
Do you want me to tell you how much he had during was his average during the rookie season?
No, because
and we ain't talking about slaying women now. We're talking about on the basketball court.
Oh,
you got stats off the court.
Chamberlain averaged 37.6 points and 27 rebounds per game.
That's like the greatest rookie of all time.
Okay, fine.
And he played 46.4 minutes per game.
Why was that dude's number so ridiculous?
In all aspects of life.
Dude just lived his life the way he wanted to.
In excess?
The way.
in every fashion?
He also, every time he went out to dinner, every time he went out to dinner, he was like, can I have 7 steaks?
As long as you slap them up, well, go for it.
Slap them up.
All right. So.
Every day I wake up, I eat 14 bowls of cereal. Like, well, why do you eat so much cereal? It's like, I fucking love.
All right, let's see. I know you'll love this one. This is the next one, right? Sixth man of the year.
Ricky Davis.
Close.
Ricky Davis Award.
Close. I would side towards.
He never won that award, Joel. What do you mean close?
I'm being sarcastic.
I would side towards Brandon Bass on this one. Brandon Bass.
The Brandon Bass Award. Yes.
The 1 year.
How'd you know?
The 1 year he should have he almost won was he was a Celtic. So we always remember him as the sixth man who got away.
Tony Kukoc.
No. I got this. Jamal Crawford.
Oh
no. He won Man Sixth Man of the Year. That was like his thing.
That was his
Celtics
thing.
Icon, John Havlicek.
Oh, that's right.
Hondo,
dude. He was that sixth man guy, huh?
How many Sixth Man of the Year award did he win?
Well, he was a sixth man his whole career.
Yeah, he was a sixth man like his whole thing.
But how many awards did he win?
It's a sixth man his whole career. And he was still the greatest. He's still Celtics scorer of all time. Like, how was that even possible? Like, that's how much team basketball this damn organization is about.
I mean, Jamal Crawford should have that never award named after him. And Hondo has the record for most points as a Celtic. That should be sufficient for him.
Is Jamal Crawford a Hall of Famer?
Woo!
Right?
Yes, but not a first ballot.
I don't think
actually,
so.
You know what? Depends who's on the ballot because, you know.
I don't think he's going
to
make
last,
it.
This last one with, you know, Tim Hardaway, and that was a kind of a weird year.
All right, would you take Tim Hardaway or Jamal Crawford?
Jamal Crawford. Yeah.
No, you take Tim Hardaway. You take Timmy.
No, Jamal Crawford is such a better scorer than Tim Hardaway.
No, you forget the Warriors stuff, though. I mean, the
no, I don't forget the Warriors stuff.
He's got
four All-Stars? Four All-Star appearances? He got a handful.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford, how many? Maybe none. One? No?
Well, again, I didn't say he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, because neither was Tim Hardaway.
Well, Tim Hardaway shouldn't have been a Hall of Famer, but I think you take Tim Hardaway over Jamal Crawford, and that sort of speaks to why Jamal Crawford's not going to make the Hall of Fame. For
sure. Just because of Tim Hardaway.
Well,
it was a weak ballot this year.
Yeah, but like, what ballot? What ballot is Jamal Crawford?
Like one of the strongest.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like even if there's a ballot that looked like this year, you're like, Tim Hardaway or Jamal Crawford in the Hall of Fame? You'll be like, all right, Tim Hardaway, yeah.
I don't know if we start talking about Tim Hardaway. We're talking about having
the
best Celtic scorer of all time.
Instead of the Hall of Fame, name the sixth man award after him, because he was the sixth man for many years. It was a given. You had to overcome Crawford.
You guys are not going to get this, but the most improved player of the year.
Most improved.
Let's see. Let's go with Luke Longley.
Who is Luke Longley? No.
What Adrian Dantley.
No.
Oh, Vinny Johnson.
Yeah, who did a completely 180. I don't know.
Otis Thorpe.
George Mikan. Told you guys weren't going to get. I wouldn't have got it either.
You didn't let me keep guessing, bro.
Oh, my fault. that you were doing the
he had trip. Mikan. You had Mikan on the mind. I know you
What did. Is it again?
Most improved. Yeah. All right. So now the newest award.
Oh, I'm still thinking about most improved.
I'm sorry. The newest award, the NBA Clutch Player of the Year.
Which was never
an actual like award. It's going to be the first time this year.
Robert Horry.
No.
Paul Pierce.
Should be Paul Pierce.
Should be Robert Horry.
Paul's got that record, doesn't he? He's either scored or
no one's
assisted.
Hit more clutch yes. shots than yes. Robert Horry, though.
No. Paul has.
The biggest, you mean?
Yeah. The biggest shots. Yeah. Robert Horry in the finals.
Well, he's got like two or three, but.
Dude, that's a lot.
They count for like nine, right? Exactly.
No, he's. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Mad shots.
Proving your point, right?
All right, Mr. NBA logo himself.
Jerry West?
Would you say it like that? Like you're not sure.
Jerry West. He couldn't win a fucking championship. How was that clutch?
Yeah, he really, really struggled against the Celtics.
How is he clutch? He legitimately is the definition of not being able to come up in the clutch.
I will tell you right now.
He did win the MVP award for a team that lost in the finals.
And he lost, so he missed the shots to win.
All right, well, let me tell you why.
All right.
Okay. He was voted on by a media panel based on nominations from NBA head coaches. Legendary Los Angeles Lakers broadcaster Chick Hearn gave West the nickname Mr. Clutch. So that is the reason.
So conspiracy theory. I think they're going to add Kobe to the logo and they're giving this to Jerry West so he's still involved.
Sorry, so I'm still involved. Well, could be. I'll drop the beat for you if you want me to.
So he's still involved.
Drop the fucking beat. Drop the fucking beat. Mm-hmm. Jerry West, you're gone.
Look, Jerry West, his stats themselves. 14-time All-Star, NBA Finals MVP. You guys were just talking about that. So, I don't know.
How many championships did he win?
Maybe you're right. Maybe the NBA logo is going to get changed, and it's like, all right, we'll give you this just because you've been called
Kobe's
Mr. Clutch.
Kobe's a better clutch, Mr. Clutch Award winner.
Yeah, but he already has the All-Star MVP. It's named after him, the trophy.
Okay.
I'm just saying, no double dipping here when it comes to awards right. named
just,
after you.
Just off of our conversation alone, it makes me wonder, like, with like NBA panelists or whoever decided these things,
how this broke down in the room. Like
the dialogue must have been hilarious.
Yeah, I would love
well,
to be.
Why does this guy get to do that? Like everyone must have been like bouncing stuff.
Who decided this?
Yeah, right. Like exactly the way Sean's been reacting to, and pretty much every single
know,
every person, every award.
Even Havlicek is like, what the? All right.
Yeah. Like, how'd you settle on George Mikan? Let's be honest. Like, Do you feel like you just had like
or who were the ones that were like close? They're like neck and neck, and then like they ultimately decided on George Mikan. Like,
damn it. Yeah. I mean,
who thought of this?
The Mikan's got a nice phone call, I'm sure.
Well, I mean,
hey,
you're not gonna believe this one.
Hey, Hillary. I know. Your great grandfather, it means a lot to you and his basketball reputation. We'd love to have you come out for the most improved player trophy presentation this year, named after your great grandfather himself.
You do realize these awards, or most of these awards, are named after players who are no longer here, right? So,
yeah, could have named someone in any decade that people watched basketball of George Mikan.
Am I the beneficiary of some sort? What are we talking about?
So, here? How much money am I getting?
Am I the only living, you know, family member connected to this guy? That's why I'm getting the phone call.
You're going quite down the family tree, if I'm being honest with you.
If I'm being honest,
not gonna lie, I bring up George Mikan only when I'm asked for fun facts. Other than that, no relationship. Yeah.
Fun facts. All right. So, yeah, that's. Yeah.
So, fuck George Mikan. Asshole.
Apparently, you know, Ducha's not happy with these awards being renamed.
I'm,
except for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, apparently. We'll have to redo this.
Yeah. I'll come with my list next time.
Yeah.
I'll come with my list. I'll put some thought to it.
He's like the James Posey Award for the Sixth Man of the Year.
Hear me out.
The Marcus Smart Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Mr. Clutch Award, PJ Brown. All right. There we go.
Curveball, right? Yeah. I didn't see that.
See that one coming, right?
Most Improved Player, Leon Poe. Just saying. Look at that. Look at the stats. Look at the stats.
Let's do it. You guys get higher. Hold on. What else we missed, Drew?
Oh, my fault. All right. In case you missed it. Congratulations to Al Horford, who welcomed his fifth child.
Yeah, you got to start in five.
You got to start in five. There it is, baby.
There you go.
Him and his wife, Amelia, they welcomed a baby girl.
Anna, you mean?
Earlier this week.
That's a common mistake, too.
Common mistake.
People think that Anna is
Al's wife.
So, yeah, so after missing a couple games for being in the...
A couple?
The leagues. No, for real. It was the last few games that he's missed was because of the birth of his daughter. Mm-hmm. But the first two that he missed was because he was in protocol.
Was he in...
Plus, he missed one game because it was a back-to-back. He doesn't play back-to-back, so... Right.
Yeah, it was also because he got the bid for, like, the seventh time. Why is Al like COVID so much?
I think he went in quarantine to be able to be at his birth of his kid.
Oh, okay. All right. Really good.
Could be Sean's right. Got all the conspiracy theories, huh?
No, I mean, that could be legit.
No, it probably is legit.
Yeah. There you go. Breaking fucking
well,
news.
He entered health and safety protocol. Maybe that could fall.
See, if people just assume that he got the vid.
He wouldn't have been able to go to the hospital to see his kid if he had the vid like that.
That's true. Very true. True that.
Read between the lines, people.
So expect Papa Horford.
Find the story.
Expect Papa Horford to be back most likely.
This is journalism 101.
Don't believe the headline.
Expect him to be back most likely Friday against Bobo.
Wow, he's got his hands full.
He's got his hands full against Bobo, who doesn't start.
Speaking of children.
But yes. So yeah, that's going to do it for this weird rendition of In Case You Missed It.
Not a weird rendition.
It got kind of weird.
It got kind of weird.
A nice rendition.
All right.
I think people expect a little weirdness from us.
I don't know. You were pretty negative about the awards here.
The awards sucked. Outside of Michael Jordan, the awards name sucked.
I mean, you were more excited about Bobo Weekend than fucking the awards.
Well, I just want Hakeem Olajuwon.
Not going to lie.
If you had to rank best defensive players of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon would be up there. Up there, sure. The best.
But maybe it's not the best. It's just someone that's...
I'm just upset about how the trophies look. Like, they look like...
They look like this glass, right? No one can see it.
No one can see that.
But yeah.
They look like the...
Shot glass.
They look like the participation awards. Like, it's the one that everyone gets. Like,
they literally look like the one that, like...
The WNBA gets with their championship trophy?
Oh, that one. Yeah. Maybe they made them small for that reason. They're like...
They look like what they give.
Gender equality.
They look like what they give.
Let's make sure we get smaller trophies.
They look like what they give to, like...
Instead of giving them bigger ones.
And then next year, there's going to be a huge trophy. in the WNBA. No, it's gonna be like the biggest one.
It's like what they give to like the top executive who like sold the most that month or something. It's weird. It's like something you would get out of
something you would
an office job.
It's not something you put on your mantle in your mansion. No, but it's something you put on your office desk.
Yeah,
and be like, hey, employee of the month.
Employee of the month. Yeah, it has employee of the month.
No, but maybe it looks like that because it's not like actual size.
Look, if last year they got away with it with the 75-year anniversary thing. That was fine. Okay, you want to, you know, to commemorate the thing, and you know, it's a lot much smaller, and it was just more of like a hey, like this has been 75 years of the NBA. Okay, I get that, but like you're supposed to go back to regular size trophies after that.
The MVP trophy is not the regular size MVP trophy anymore.
No, it's ridiculous now, man. That MVP thing.
I mean, that's what it looks like on like. You know,
That was a great trophy.
The Jordan trophy, the MVP one, the new one. When has Jordan ever made that motion? Like, have you seen this thing? I can just tell you haven't, Sean. Like, you can.
No.
It's like he's grabbing a rebound or something. I'm like, that's not a Jordan iconic. Like,
I would say it looks like it's going up for a floater.
I don't expect the Jumpman logo, obviously, but like, come
Why
on.
Why not do the Jumpman logo?
I'm sure there's some copyright things going on there.
But Jordan, okay. Okay.
You know, Jordan at the end of the day is a businessman.
Jordan's like, we're going to do that. You better pay me some dough.
Yeah, he's like, how much are you talking? Ending up showing up and handing this thing out like Bill Russell was?
That's a good question. Maybe the first time. I don't know.
That's what this looks like.
Right? Yeah. Sean's face says it all.
It looks like an Emmy with the basketball, diamond crusted basketball.
I will not only
the Emmy guy played
rename
ball,
them the right way. Like. I will make drawings of what the trophy should look like.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to that. Yeah. Take your time with it, though.
An article on Causeway Street.
Take your time with it, though.
7 years.
Now I'm all worked up.
Yeah,
what you do?
This was a wild. That was a wild thing to go through, man. You knew that was going to be.
Yeah.
You knew that was going to be controversial.
I did, but not that controversial.
Well. Next time, read the room, bro.
Hit us up on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Please do. Please do that.
Do better, bro. I'm out of here. Drop my mic.
Hit up CausewayStreet.com for your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. And you better subscribe to Causeway After Hours. That's patreon.com/causeway. It's down to the finals, guys, here at in the World Cup.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes. Someone's going to get their prediction. Someone got the prediction.
Right? It ain't me.
Nah, Portugal's out.
Portugal-Morocco game, I will not get started here.
Okay. All right. That's
for another day.
So it's between the Pavone brothers.
What we got?
Argentina. I got Argentina. This is Messi's fucking year to do it. If he doesn't, then it's never going to happen.
Yeah, but you know the French, they like to spoil things. France is back.
The fucking French.
And they're
the reigning champs right now.
They're looking for a repeat, baby.
Now, I look at it from my perspective. I think from the way the games have been played, Argentina has been getting a very friendly whistle.
Yeah, yes and no, though.
Yes and no, because
some of those fouls have been ridiculous. Like, yeah. The one against the goalie, the recent one when Messi scored.
Yeah.
You can't touch the goalie like that. Like, you make it sound like it's like 50-50 calls.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
50-50.
That ref was throwing out yellow cards all willy-nilly.
Right, but I'm even go back to the Argentina.
Netherlands
game. They were getting a very friendly whistle because that motherfucker who started shit and got the whole benches riled up, didn't get a card.
The Netherlands, they reached their limit.
I'm not saying that Argentina shouldn't have won that game.
Okay.
I'm just making
sure.
You know what? I will say this too.
They've reached their limit.
I think Argentina, the best thing that happened to Argentina.
Speaking of bets, we'll talk.
The best thing that happened to Argentina was losing to Saudi Arabia to start the tournament.
Oh, yeah, because it's like just like the Celtics fans that were like, oh, it's the end of the world after losing against the Warriors.
Exactly.
That's exactly what happened.
But I also
think in the World Cup, though, you know,
Messi's been getting a very friendly whistle in a tournament.
Hold on.
I know. But in a tournament where they haven't been favoring the stars.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to throw out my two cents on why your Portugal fucked up.
I know why they fucked up,
but I want to say it anyways.
Go ahead.
They should have started Ronaldo not the last game, but the game before that.
In Switzerland?
Yes.
I know.
Like, what were you afraid of with the Swiss? And if you were going to hold out on playing him at all in that game because you wanted to be ready for the next game, then you should have started him.
And I think...
And then when it didn't go their way, they're like, save us. Save us, Ronaldo. Go in and save us. Like, come on, bro. You going to put pressure on this dude to save...
Bullshit. It's a bullshit
it's
way.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit to go out.
They fucked him over.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, the whole first half when Ronaldo was on the bench, it was a lifeless fucking Portugal team.
Yeah.
No urgency.
Ramos was MIA, bro.
The second Ronaldo came in, we're attacking.
What minute did he come in?
Too late.
No. He came in early.
49.
He came in early. Who does substitutions at minute 49?
Nobody.
Exactly. That was a desperate move.
Desperate teams, dude.
Desperate move. All right. And stars are on the same page. Pound
dog,
up.
You know I wanted Ronaldo to start against Switzerland. I was flipping out against Switzerland. You would have won last episode. Off the fucking ledge.
I was telling you. I was like, yo, I don't know about the move.
You know, no. You were saying. You said.
No, hey. No. I was saying. I don't know if they're going to even use him because.
Right.
You know, Ramos scored the hat trick.
And then
I was like, that was a bad thing. That was the worst thing that could happen.
I thought it was the best thing that could have happened because what you do. Is you let Ramos go to... I looked at it this way. When we backed out from it, I said, okay, you know you can beat the Swiss without Ronaldo. And if you wanted to get other players featured in that tournament to build the squad, like, fine. But then you let Ramos get his hat trick, and you look at Ronaldo and say, yo, he just got a hat trick, dog. And then you start Ronaldo the next game and see if he can go up against that.
What happened was, after that 6-1, you know, beating, the hat trick from Ramos, and they looked at Ronaldo and was like, you understand what we need to do here, right? Nothing personal.
You're super sub.
You know what I'm saying? But you're going to be super ready for this game because you're not going to start. And then when it wasn't going that way, they were like, hey, buddy, remember all that shit that we said earlier? Yeah, fuck all that. We need you right now. Come on, fix this. And they just didn't get it done. And I bet you the Portuguese media is blaming it all on him. And it shouldn't have.
The disrespect.
No, I agree.
And the underuse of Ronaldo is a fucking Fox. Travesty.
Yeah, it is.
And you know why? It's going to sound really weird. People like Messi because he is more of a relatable superstar.
Yeah, because he's not Ronaldo, like... A lot of people looked at Ronaldo, myself included, for not all the time, but like early on in the rivalry as like the pretty boy versus the blue-collar guy.
Yep. And I hated it because I'm like, yeah. He probably is,
yeah.
But he's still. I still stand by that. Well, there were
the team on the map, man.
There were.
Oh, he did. He did. He did.
There were so many years where Ronaldo was just better than Messi by a smidge, and no one ever wanted to give it to him.
And you know what's crazy? They're cool with each other.
I know they are.
And they could play with each other if they were ever that ever would have happened.
All I'm saying, next year, New England Revolution. Actually, I got some breaking news here. I heard through the grapevine. I can't tell you where I heard this from, but I heard through the grapevine that a soccer specific stadium is going to be built right next to Encore Casino. Ooh. In the upcoming years for the Revolution to have a home stadium there. Everett, and then I think when they
Everett residents are like, what the fuck?
Messi. Ronaldo, Messi, someone's coming to the MLS. Revolution better open up their fucking checkbook because they never got that guy that came over. You've been saving it for Messi. Let's fucking spend out the nose, Robert Kraft. Let's go.
And on that note, let's go Argentina.
Let's go.
You guys, Sway is going with France.
I'm sort of going with, I'm going to bet on different things in Vegas.
Let's see what happens.
Watch the game. I want good soccer. It's going to be a great fucking soccer game.
Yeah, sure. We're going to have a heck of a story coming from Vegas. Sean Dutra. Going to be
approaching. Oh yeah, I can't wait, baby.
The Las Vegas scene for the first time in his life. It's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
So tune in for
tune
that.
In for the content.
Reaction. You know what? Call me live out there. Let's see what happens.
Oh, so you're right here. All right. Until next time.
All right. Maybe.
Hopefully, there's a next time.
Hopefully, it's not an in memorandum episode of.
Hopefully, it's not. It's not a duo. It's still yeah. the trio here.
Hopefully, it's not like we haven't heard from Sean in weeks. Can somebody please?
Like this episode.
If you know Sean Dutra.
This episode is to to put the word out. Like, please have him contact us.
It's now real. It's been 14 days since last contact with Sean. His family is worried.
No, in all seriousness, yo, be safe out there. Please. Please.
I'll be fucking fine.
Please. All right. All right. Until next time, we out, guys. Peace.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm just out there fucking just. Vegas is awesome, dude. Yeah. Just living. I'm never going home.